We might hold questions to the end of this session, so we'll go straight into Philip and Anne's, and then we'll take questions for both papers and perhaps even for Pat's if we have time.
Thanks, Zap. Well, it looks like I've drawn the short straw here. So do I have to do something here?
No, the gentleman. Oh, our AV gentleman.
Someone a bit more IT savvy than myself will sort things out. And as is customary, I have to state that I'm between you and lunch, so I'll keep it nice and short. How long do I actually have? Probably about 1 minute, is it?
No, you do have quarter of an hour.
Oh, I do have quarter of an hour, okay. Very good, very good. It's this one. So I'm just following on from Deirdre's presentation, just a short one then. One of the reasons why it is short, and I will keep it brief because of lunch, and also because the key word there perhaps is potential. As is quite clear, RDA isn't in final, complete, perfect form yet. There's still a lot of debate going on, even in for part the chapters in Part A, let alone Part B, which hasn't quite finished being drafted yet, as I understand it. So it's a bit of a moving target, but Anne and myself have identified three ways which it looks almost certain as though there's a lot of potential for RDA when it is finalised to impact on the way that OPACs are designed in the future. So still at the promise stage, and also the key word is potential because, of course, RDA is only a standard. It isn't a system, and it isn't a cataloger. And, of course, RDA has to be adopted, and in some cases, perhaps options will have to be adopted. It's not totally clear what will be optional and what won't be. But certainly systems will also have to be redeveloped or further developed in order for the full potential impact of RDA on OPAC displays to occur. So as I say, we've identified three key departures from AACR2, and they are these. Divorce from the ISBD format, which Deirdre mentioned. I'm not too sure whether Martha is thrilled about this, considering that she is very supportive of the ISBD format and all those commas and colons and so on, so she might want to close her ears on that bit. But she probably will be very keen on the promise to ferberize, in inverted commas, things. And that, as Deirdre probably mentioned, will take place mostly with Part B. Also, as she mentioned, the material designations are going to be radically revised, you could say dropped, and new elements will come in. And Deirdre mentioned three possible new categories, and at this stage it's very unclear whether it's going to be three, but I'll talk to you in a minute in terms of how far we've got with those. Certainly there'll be two. So first of all, the divorce, as it were. Been happily married for quite a long time. Married in 78, ISBD-G came out in 77, there was a lot of input from the AACR people on that, so it wasn't difficult for AACR2 to completely mirror the requirements of that basic ISBD-G, and the basic framework hasn't really changed. Of course, there have been quite a few new ISBDs, but they've been reflected in new chapters or revised chapters in AACR too. So the arrangement of the elements, of course, as you know, are in a particular order, and that's ISBD order, and of course it's divided into the eight areas of description. So that will no longer apply as far as we can see, in RDA. It will be independent of the ISBD format. There won't be any rules stipulating any particular arrangement, no other particular order of the elements. And also, of course, the punctuation then, which is specifically ISBD punctuation, won't be required as far as as far as IDA is concerned. Of course, that doesn't mean to say you can't still put it in if you like all your colons and semicolons, all that, and equal signs. That's fine. And, of course, Martha and others would argue that it's very useful, particularly, of course, in the international context, with different scripts and so on. But it won't be essential. Instead, you can simply have a label, and that also won't be specified, what the label is for the title or the publisher, etc. It's completely devoid of display format description, also completely devoid of exchange format description. It'll be purely and simply a content standard. So trying to do what AACR does best, we think. So because it won't stipulate the ISBD elements and the different and the areas embracing the different elements, that of course allows for new elements that aren't covered by ISBD. Also allows for the redefinition of ISBD elements, and even in some cases, and you could argue in the case of material designation, the dropping of particular elements, or at least the radical revision of them, so they look totally different, really. So just a few pointers then in terms of new and revised elements. As I said, you probably shouldn't take it with a pinch of salt, but you know, quite a large pot of salt. There's still quite a lot of debate going on as to what are elements and what are not elements, but things that we see really only in notes in ISBD terms, like language note and intended audience and so on, of course they have their own mark fields, will become much more formal elements in the same way as the title and publisher and so on. Some existing elements will be split a little, so that copyright date becomes an element in its own right, as opposed to just a bit of the publication date element, as it is now, really, or publication distribution, etc. And some elements will be expanded instead of split. So, for example, at the moment we have standard numbers, the part of the eighth area at the end of the ISBD. Of course, that will no longer apply, so it can be expanded, and it'll be expanded to a new element called resource identifier, and that will include all those things that Deirdre is particularly keen on, like the PERLs and the URIs and so on, because they're identifiers just in the same way as ISBNs and ISSNs are, and so on. GMDs and SMDs then, general and specific material designations, will be superseded, and I'll mention that a bit more in a moment. So the implications in terms of this fairly radical departure from AACR, in terms of OPAC displays, certainly there are lots of other implications in other terms, in terms of exchange of metadata and so on. It becomes, theoretically at least, much easier if it's not, if your bibliographic data is not necessarily tied down to ISBD. But in terms of the impact on OPAC displays, which is what we're talking about here, users don't need, if you follow RDA, they don't need to see the ISBD punctuation. That will be totally up to the library and the display format standards, customizations and so on that that your particular library wants to implement, system allowing, of course. Also, it means that you can arrange elements however you like. So whereas some people think they're perfectly arranged as they are, of course, if you're going to get new elements in and you're going to get notes referring much more specifically to particular elements, there may be a case for rearranging things a bit or dropping things from at least the front the front line display, simply relegating them to the full record, perhaps. As I mentioned, then notes are going to be mostly, unless, of course, they become new elements themselves, like intended audience and so on, they're mostly going to be tied down to particular elements. So, for example, notes about the title, where you got the title from, so on. That'll be arranged in RDA in the context of the title element. So there's no reason why a note about the title shouldn't be displayed right up there adjacent to the title element itself, or perhaps immediately underneath in some online way. As I mentioned, of course, if it's ISBD free, then you don't need to have prescribed punctuation to identify each particular element. Instead, you can have labels, or you can, of course, have both, although that's a little bit more tricky because, of course, you've got divisions into areas and so on. But of course, that's how often systems, OPACs, display things now, and it's probably not what Martha likes too much. But we can have scope for perhaps more specific labels for each particular element, and you're free to choose whatever you like. There's, of course, a bit of a danger in doing that, and that's where we might need to think about standardization once again. Time, 5 minutes, right. So that's the first, at least on the surface of things, the first way in which OPACs could look very different in the future in a post-RDA world, at least if you choose OPACs, and as long as the system people are happy about doing the development work. The second departure then, as Deirdre mentioned, is the transformation of the GMDs and SMDs. So instead of both the GMDs being the big sort of thing it is, class of material, as we'd say in AACR terms, and the SMD being the smaller type of thing it is, the narrower term, we're in RDA are going to recategorize the resource in terms of two much purer, or possibly three, purer types of categories. So we have those categories based on, or that one category based on content, another category perhaps based on media, and then a key one, of course, based on the type of carrier. So at the moment, at both levels, it's a bit of a mix. For example, at the GMD level, you have some things which are basically content, like cartographic material. It's basically a map thing, but it doesn't have to be on a sheet. It could be online, whatever. But then we have other GMDs like Microform, which don't tell you anything about the content, of course. They just tell you about what it's on, the carrier. So we're going to recategorize based on what we think is theoretically a sounder taxonomy. Content will be very big types of content, so text. Luckily, I think we're going to have musical notation as opposed to, say, music. Image, you know, very big, broad type things, but at least it tells you what it is in the content sense, as opposed to what it's on in the type of carrier sense. So the type of carrier and or the media and possibly the media category will be based much more on the physical thing, and of course if it's online, the intangible type of carrier, the file. And these may or may not mirror the extent term. At the moment, that's still up in the air a bit. Theoretically, there's more than one. There are extra categories, different terms in the extent area in the present RDA draft that don't occur in the basic type of carrier category. The jury's still out whether we're going to have another set of terms just for the extent, or whether The extent will cover only the type of carrier terms. But anyway, they will be fairly specific, so they will be things like things that you're quite used to, so sound disc or audio disc, video, cassette, and so on, those types of carrier at that level specificity. Possibly, again, the jury's still out, possibly it'll go down a bit more to a bit more specific, a bit more helpful types of terms. Speed it up a bit. So that's what I've just been talking about. The broader terms then for the content will hopefully help you a bit more, particularly in terms of the online facilities, to know what it actually, or the user, what it actually is that you've got. And for sorting purposes, hopefully they're a bit more useful in terms of precision than the current GMDs, which are a bit of a mixture. And the type of character category, type of carrier category, hopefully will be specific enough for the users, and perhaps displayed. Of course, they can be displayed now at any level, not just at the extent down hidden in the middle of the record. And hopefully, they'll be also useful, more useful than the current SMDs. And the third departure is the Thurberization. This is really relates much more to Part B, which we still haven't really seen yet. But the main thing here, of course, is the hierarchy, and we've already heard quite a lot of talk about how the inadequacies of the catalogue and under current cataloguing rules in terms of distinguishing between works, expressions, manifestations, and clumping the works and the expressions together on top of the manifestations. Hopefully, the new RDA rules with particular identifiers, particularly in the uniform titles, will help make the clumping, the hierarchical displays much more readily implementable. So users can drill down from the work through the expression, so there'll be different labels for the work and for the expression, so drilling down to the manifestation level. And we talk in the papers, we've got some more details about these various the departures and their impact and the way they alleviate particular problems in the paper. But the basic thing that we're trying to overcome here is the so-called multiple versions problem, where users have about 10 or 20 or 30 different records that might be at different levels that they have to plow through and see if they do actually represent the same work or expression and so forth. So in conclusion then, it looks like RDA promises to be much more flexible. So you've got much more scope in terms of the labels, whether you want punctuation there or not, which elements you want at particular levels of the record and so on. You can move things around much more. But of course, this is only if the format standards such as MARC accommodate, if you're going to follow formats such as MARC,